Blog Talk Radio.
Just a step, cries the sad man. Take a look down at the madman. Theater king's on. Silver wings fly beyond reason. From the flight of the seagull come the spread claws of the eagle. Only fear breaks the silence as we all kneel, pray for guidance. We'll be right back.
Hello, my freaky darlings, and welcome to Late Night Poets After Midnight Show, where you get to take a walk on the wild side. If you're into the likes of Ginsberg, Bukowski, Ferlinghetti, Kerouac, and Morrison, then you are on the right night. But please check out our other After Midnight shows. Fridays are split between crawling into the darkness with Pam and Break On Through. Join Aphasiana and Babbla as they teach you the fine arts of heart dinner. Heart Saints on Saturdays, and Monday mornings are split between Hearts of Late Night Poets with Victoria and Black Lace Diaries, hosted by Mr. M and Ms. Ross. These shows are designed to shoot in color outside the lines with richer emotions into a colloquial language, thereby pushing the envelope to expression and opening up new avenues of thoughts through pen and voice. Pull up a chair, relax, and open your minds. I'm Rex, my co-host, Pam Ray, and I can't wait to get into and read your words. Hey, Pam, what's cooking?
Hey, Rex, what's a cooking?
Not a thing.
Well, what do you know about that? So, looks like a great lineup of poetry tonight. I've got writes from a couple different contests. The dark show contest from last week, carryovers, and then some writes inspired by the Richard Brautigan contest that we ran. And all kinds of good stuff.
All righty then. So, cooking.
Yeah. All right, well, since you're not in too much of a mood to chit-chat, I'll just go ahead and bring our guests on and we can start, you know, splashing around in the hot tub. So here we go. And first of all, we have Jeremy. Welcome, Jeremy. Glad you could join us.
Well, I mean, shit, Rex, wake up. We're here to party, baby. Good to see you guys. How you both doing?
Well, I had scratchy voice all last night. I'm wondering if I'm going to be rolling over the same thing tonight. So,
well, hopefully I can kick you into another gear and give you a little bit of motivation to party, baby.
Absolutely. Well, what we need to do, there you go. And what we need to do is we need to make sure to make extra long, extra intelligent comments so that Rex barely has to say anything, except all he'll have to say is, wow, Pam, Jeremy, you two are on fire tonight.
Is that hot tub fire?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
That's the new thing for witches and warlocks. The burbling, gurgling spire of hot tub views.
There you go.
Right. Bubble, toil and trouble, hot tub bubble, falls and boil, hot tub boil and
toil.
Yeah.
Well, good evening.
Something
now.
Like that. Well, and I do want to welcome area code 573 to the show. Welcome, area code 573. May I ask who's speaking or who's calling?
Yes, Sinister Spillo. Good evening, all.
Hi, Sin. Sin,
how
are
you doing,
you.
Bubba?
I'm hanging in there.
Excellent. Well,
yeah, I was happy to catch one of your guys' prompts in time to actually be on and share with you, so glad to be here.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Very cool to hear from you.
I was out of the poetry scene for the last 6-8 months. I haven't done much of anything, but I'm back.
Well, it's good to see you. And welcome aboard. All right, Pam, where are we kicking off?
All right. I'll go ahead and grab the first poem, and I'll go ahead and, Sin, I'll put your poem up, and you can go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
All right. Tell me when you got it on the board. Ready? last time we danced. Awake the winter's vibrant gloom, clutching last rites to show his waning power, creating silver tinsels, dripping slippery bars, reviewed and miscue on sovereignty's hand. In houses ordained, downstairs in quirky basements, huddled masses by tin cans and charity's blanket. Bitching about the time outside your fashionable coffin, greed never knew such grandstanding falls deep. Can you snub the nose and misery's placement? Cheeks? A community spirited on seeking divine conceptions loses growth in tariffs of an erratic economy pacing. Cannot suffice the cost of country court, county court lunches, the debitor knows the red tape complacence. Trash bags lined up like fabric urns, tilted towers, shit's been broken, neglecting the stitch needs, no equation in the quandary of quarters fighting, liquid gel cleansing tattered soul and sundries room. And this warm breeze, remitted by sweet failure's vapor, has some drab expression this essence lost right. Petty theft and corporal wanderings keeps me high. Festering lesions leak out beneath stretched out eyes. Catching shattered fragments of gripping deviantly pet pleas. Used tires fill the invasion fodder. Proceeds swiftly, opposing lies. No homecoming harlotin can guard her value without such binds. Burnt into the retinas of aging social transgressions flung. Spark a stick of rational oblivion dried in moonshine. Yet these taxes miseducated goals, no towing line. Battered grows slumpy pockets, banished in fortune's clan. Not a trace will be a digit, Miss Cold War Adams. Yet still illegal to spirit the grandest of dangers in mobility. Crash below corner markets, he's making DUIs. How can you box Jane's lengthy cushion, stoppy? Because I decree in her I'm the most gentle of men. There's still light from the hearth, recalling times, ousted death of duct tape heroes from long ago, containing decimated memories on silver strands, fueled worth on copy, loose impurities, caving. Shivering in the shadow of this tragic shelving of suffrage, gone amidst the nation once coveted by false pride, being detained for rebellion, rebellious incursions I won't regret. After all, their derisions broke open that shameless dam. I don't know if you feel it too, so many reasons for crying. I'm not the most wonderful person, but I commit truth. Less jaded say as to not be implementing oppression too shy the worth to explain what lacks one so quizzical. Stirring up minimum expectations of bowel movements, doctors said, sign your life on that thing you thought was your right. Always take another. You know, gifted wool, worthy sheep. Soon weight will suckle nectar from ripened jello seeds. Absent from the equation, that salon at such price, where the upper echelon trample on giant feet, as broken collars my shoulder can't wake the strife, I will lamb sir for the occasion to fail my jury rights. Farewell, my sweetest flower, calling home crafts in. I'm deserting it all on highway shoulders, aimless, initiating a grind like Judas, recalling why betrayal was all right. Nothing sovereign is cost that reason can value in luscious dress. Small-town schisms reflect visions in dirty coffee cups, diner patrons in arms of rodents pissing on the floors. Be the evening before the exterminator comes, darling. Go dress down the pretty. Prepare for aimless fight. Staying here won't warrant progression, repressed dreams tonight. It's a thousand salvageable seasons now gone will mother die. Destruction is human worth, inflictions grabbing bottom line. Heavy printing carbon, footpaths, mar of faded paradigm. Don't refresh on liquidated systems rivaling Tijuana bathing rights. Seeds to sow are soaked in multitudes of polluted fright. Chemtrails and the grandest natostratus distilled slow jaundice look up at the night to corrode your retinas in a radioactive lie. I'm smoking my confessions while writing funeral rhymes. You know, Big Brother has eyes floating in concrete trees, keeps full of the slot of gluttony of verbal sacrificial flight, lacking cause and purpose, crucified, speaking high death, infamy. Sing out in the voices with rational purpose bent on deceit. Pseudo-convictions will be errantly imposed at three. Highly suspect these benign verdicts after such tragedy. Cutting open the vials showing that what gang-raped individuality. I was just graciously patient and waiting on helping hearts that feed. describing subtle nuances of this goading side of broad hypocrisy, but you finger greed where oral complacency really bleeds. Instead, I think I shall force that larceny about crippled corporate feet in peace.
Great read, Sim. Thank you very much. Let's get you some comments. All right, Jeremy, what'd you think? Kick us off, please.
Sin, don't hurt him, baby. Don't hurt him. I loved it. You know what? As you're going through this, I mean, there's a thousand things going through my mind. I mean, it was a lengthy piece, so there's a lot to ponder while you're pounding through it. Let me start from the beginning. I like a lot of the older, powerful bands. I'm a huge Rage Against the Machine fan, a band that had a huge political statement and a huge undertone, but they really knew how to deliver. And what I want to comment first on is the passion in which you powered through this entire poem. And it's not just someone standing up saying, F the government, give me this, F the church, give me weed. I mean, that's not how you presented this. You presented this eloquently the entire way through. So you kind of, you get the passion piece in the way that you presented it. But then as I'm letting my ears understand what you're saying, I'm also looking at the eloquence of what you put in all the words. And so that, my friend, is the heart of what poetry is all about. When someone can take a message, and doesn't matter, it's not always all about the content. It's also all about the love of the game, right? And I think that you illustrated that 100%. And I like the fact that I was able to lose myself in both your words, but then your message never lost its passion. And that was very clear in what you did in your presentation. I think you dance on a ton of different topics on here, which is okay. I mean, it's okay for someone to stand on their soapbox and just flex their chest and say, this is me, I'm going to roar, this is what I'm about. And I agreed with a lot of your messages here, but even if I didn't, I feel that anyone that can appreciate the art form can appreciate the fact of passion and heart of what you put into this and how you composed it. So for all those reasons, I just got to say bravo, man. This was a hell of a ride. And for all of us fist pounders out there, we're digging it.
Man, I appreciate it. That's why I always say, get on the train and take a ride. Don't know where it'll go, but we'll get there.
Right on.
Excellent, Jeremy. Thank you. And Pam, how about you?
Well, first of all, I thought it was really cool that in his comment, Jeremy brought up Rage Against the Machine. I can definitely see where that has that whole, this right has that whole vibe to it. Like I said earlier, Sin, it's really good to hear from you. And to see, it's good to see you writing again. You are a person who knows, a poet who knows how to deliver poetry as a performance. You have an energy, an excitement in your delivery. There's powerful, hard-hitting lines in here. It is a lot to take in. But there are certain lines that stand out to me. Trash bags lined up like fabric urns, tilted towers, shit's been broken, neglected, the stitched needs. You know, the whole idea of people, places, and, you know, history neglected. There's still light from the hearth, recalling times, ousted depths of duct tape heroes from long ago. Duct tape heroes, those who were kept silent, those who were not able to use their voices. I really like how amongst all this ranting, this raving, which is a very intelligent ranting and raving, you go into a personal mode, as if the poem almost took you into another direction. I don't know if you feel it too. So many reasons for crying. I'm not the most wonderful person, but I commit truth. And to me, while this whole rite is powerful, that to me is the most emotionally powerful, because you stand up there and you say, I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers. But what I do know is there are a lot of fucked up things about this world. and we need to speak up about it. We, you know, we as poets have a voice and a reason. I also like that you bring in here, you know, Big Brother has eyes feeling in concrete trees, keeps full the slot of gluttony of verbal sacrificial plight. It's all about, you know, like politicians using their voice to get, you know, what they want, you know, and if that means killing off whoever or whatever they have to, then that's what's going to happen. You know, I like, there's so many different place parts I could, you know, just kind of pick apart and give my opinion about, but I'll just say that all together, I thought this was just a brilliant, hard-hitting write and very well done.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your indulgence in it.
Well said, Pam. All right, Sen. I'll agree with the thought with the way it was with Rage Against the Machine, although now they seem to be doing nothing but shilling for shekel as their new modus operandi. Once against everything, now they're falling in line. Anyway, this doesn't fall in line. This hits on all eight cylinders of thought, because you don't just hit on the idea of those that are doing. You also hit on the idea of those who walk along in complacency. You want to bat about the ears, everybody, instead of just the ones who are doing it. Hey, the ones who are receiving it also need to have their ears batted. And you drop in a couple little tidbits like, greed never knew such grandstanding, balls deep. Can you snub the nose of misery's placement? Jeez. Yeah, everybody's getting buggered. Get used to it or take care of it one way or another. Cannot suffice the cost of county court lunches. Kind of a nice note to a thing of, hell, they can't even run the DMV right, and you expect them to run something like a big government on a massive scale across the country? Yeah, that don't quite work, especially with fools in place. The thought of trash bags lined up like fabric or until the house. Yeah, they can't even pick up the garbage. There's a full load of a swath that covers everything from a local level clear up to the thought to the grand poobahs, the very rich tech giants and the billionaires who own pretty much lock, stock, and barrel of the world. And I like the thought with cripple corporate speak. A little drop in the back. I shall force that last name about it. The cripple corporate speak. There's kind of that note to they used to do in South Africa when somebody got caught stealing diamonds, whether it be they swallow it, stuff it up their anus or whatever. They got caught. They got hobbled. Their two legs were put in between a 4x4 and then broke at the ankle, just below the knobs, and they call that hobbling. And that's kind of what that last line has me thinking of, how we're all getting hobbled by the elitist end up top.
Right on, man. Yeah. I like that you took out that line. It's definitely a back and forth of what's done and what we can do and how we, you know, how can we rebel against it, because they get to do it. You know, they open that shameless dam. But it's not okay for us. The world works and fucked up ways.
Oh, yeah, we don't matter. We're just the little boys on the back end of the pond. They're big fish. They're supposed to know better. They think they know better. Wait. Great piece. Thank you very much for dropping it in.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Good to see you again. Jeremy, I didn't mean it literally. It was just a figure of speech.
Too late. It's an ink. It's an ink, Rex. I couldn't help myself.
Besides, you have to be Superman to make a carbon dust come out of your full of diamonds.
I mean, you didn't go the misery route. You went right with the diamonds up the keister. I'm impressed, buddy. I'm impressed.
it seems fitting. All right, Pam, what are we into next?
All right. I am going to have us jump over to the Richard Brautigan contest for this one right, which is No Comment by Naomi Sarah. And I guess we're already in that contest, but anyways, I'm going to put up Naomi's right, and she's got a recording, so here we go.
No comment. Whiffs of crushed shock. Sneeze. Understanding plurilingualism. I heard glasses on crooked. Developing pedagogy. Oh my God, they so are. A screaming itch turning to rash to reach over and straighten those damn glasses. Teaching in linguistically diverse classes across. Oh yeah, right. No longer hanging classroom walls across Quebec anymore. Curse us all if we were to dare offend anyone. We are such suckers of dicks, kissing the asses of everyone while sacrificing our own cultural identity. The disciplines, of those fucking glasses. English is now so widespread and considered so influential. Like, really? Aren't we being taken over by the Chinese? Well, yes. Hey, more power to them, whatever. That banana countries. Oh, banana, fan, how did that stupid song go again? Which use English as their first language. Well, Satan himself is sure merrily jerking off to Mother Nature out there with all that slushy shit pissing up against the windows. Are often charged with hegemony and linguistic imperialism. Oh, well, bloody blasphemy. May God Almighty strike us down. Wonder how all this junk, a hunk of fuck, will help me become a better teacher? Like, seriously?
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is really appreciated. All right, Pam, you get to lead. What you think?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. That was an awesome read. She wrote to the prompt, I don't care how goddamn smart these guys are. I'm bored. It's been raining like hell all day long, and there's nothing to do. And what I like is that you can tell, like, how absolutely full of themselves these people are as she reads as we read her write, and you hear her thoughts inside her mind. And I love how it has that feeling of someone who's just wandering off because they just don't want to pay attention to all the ridiculousness going on around them, you know. Curse us all if we were to dare offend anyone. We are such suckers of dicks, kissing the asses of everyone while sacrificing our own cultural identity. I think to me that's a powerful line in that whole idea of, you know, why should somebody, you know, why should any one group of people, you know, lose their identity? Well, Satan himself is surely merrily jerking off to Mother Nature there with all that slushy shit pressing up against the window. I've never heard that slushy snow described in such a Bukowski-type way. I thought it was absolutely amazing. Also, love the way she, you know, made the lines flow, and there was the emphasis of certain lines with the bold print. And really she wraps up really great with that line of wondering how all this junk, you know, will help me become a better teacher. Like, seriously, because, you know, here we have, you know, like somebody pushing an agenda onto her, onto other teachers, saying, this is what's going to make you a better teacher if you teach our agenda. But, like Naomi and most teachers know, it's not just about work, a specific agenda. It's about connecting to the children. And, yeah, I know she didn't say that, but that's how I just kind of, that's how I feel. So, but I think this is an excellent write and just great humor, hard-hitting lines, and very well done.
Oh, thank you, Pam. And Sinister, how about you? What do you think?
Well, I don't get the fortune of reading it, but as I followed along listening to it, I got swept up in a lot of imagery and color. I thought that it was...
Thank you. Jeremy, how about you?
Yeah, I'm really bummed that I missed the Richard Bradigan contest read for you guys. And, Naomi, this is just awesome. I mean, I had a smile on my face the entire time because I'm a huge fan of the whole Beat movement. And I'm always kind of jealous of it because I think there was a group of those guys back in the day with Guinea, with Bradigan, with obviously Jack, and they would get together and they were free to write. And there was a love of words, a love of language, and a love of playing with concepts that I saw in this poem. So I think whatever the contest was, doesn't matter. The spirit of that, me not knowing, is even better because the spirit of that, which I am drawn so much to, I saw in what you put together here. Your performance was A+. I don't know what's going on with late night poets and my brief respite, but you guys are just killing it tonight with the love of your own work and how you present this in such an unconventional manner. Naomi, I think what you presented in this read tonight was a blast. Beyond the fact that, again, going back to what I was originally saying, this love of language and this love of poetry and this love to play and be carefree, but also be relevant. I think the bitch about not being a beat writer is the beat writers were back in the 60s. We're not there anymore. And I think you brought a lot of things forward here. You didn't copy that style, but you copied that spirit. And that's what I fell in love with in this poem. So to you, Sister, bravo. And I will say that my white whale, I can still talk about Richard Bradigan. He wrote a book called The Abortion that is my white whale. I can't find it. It is not about what you think about. It's about a library of books that were never published. If anyone ever finds it, send it to me, and I'll give you a star and a kiss, whatever you need. Anyway, love the poem, Naomi. Awesome. I love this. It's good stuff.
Great comment, everybody. This is a fascinating piece with the nice juxtaposition of particular wording standing out to make sure it's forefront and large in its dark thought and its dark underline, so to speak. I too thought that one line she hit on the verse classes across, and then across. Oh, yeah, right. No longer hanging on classrooms walls, because Quebec. Across Quebec anymore. Curse all of us if we dare to offend anyone. We are such suckers of dicks. Oof. There's a hell of an image of physical, not literally as well as metaphorically, but the point of overloading with ease and taking it all in instead of pushing back against the imbecility, which kind of cranks in this. It's on those thoughts of how you take something, you start with the children. Once you've got them indoctrinated, everything else becomes easy because they are the next generation that goes into government. And then you write back to the children, their children, except their children don't go to those schools. They go private. It's the children are rerouted and brainwashed into that which they want. And that is the full-on destruction of normalcy, that which binds a society to that and what they are. historically as well as in the moment. And it's all a breakdown of that which once was into that which we will now have you make it. And that's the hard thought in this. And they're doing it, well, through the kids, through schools, and with teachers. And the idea is, yeah, what has all this got to do with actually teaching children how to be part of us? No, nothing, unless you want that society to actually be what we're making of it right in this moment. Nicely done, Naomi. All right, Pam, what we got coming?
Well said there, Rex. You know, and I will say, when it comes to Richard Brautigan, between his quotes and his poetry and his books, he's just one of those that you could easily do two or more shows a year on him and have a variety. You know, especially, you know, I mean, even his, like, what is it, his Trout Fishing in America poems, you could do 2 to 4 shows a year on those alone. So, and, but,
trout
all
fishing.
Right, now we're going to... Yeah, he's got this series of poems called Trout Fishing in America, and definitely
yeah,
have to check them out.
Yeah, we go trout fishing. She don't need no worms. She does it by hand.
Oh my gosh! All right, so up. Next, we're going to bounce back to carryovers, and we have Paints Her Dirty Fruit by Stephen N.Y., and this one actually came to us from another show. And Jeremy, would you give that a read for us, please?
I knew it. Paint Her Dirty Fruit by Stephen N.Y. There are exorcisms needed there that never were, and the sight of those that needed cleansing captured an eye as an avalanche would hit a valley. Yet there were also a wonder to hit it all like a virgin's first peek or a boy's fingers curled to his lips while attempting to hide his devilish grin. Lying it out after the sketch, I ground the canvas with a color of red light scum, a vulgar rouge, a steamy green to slow it all went to seed. This will be a la prima coated superfly, blending her caracaso tricks and their foul honeycomb in shades of obscenity, the flash of her racy gleams, the light of her electricity, the hours of her godless cries, his orgasm shattered in a bloom of rasp ejaculation. My memory vision, it colors flat, matted porn, flat like with a snow, with a show. The sweat, her fluid, the litter, her legs, the cigarette smoke, her daddy's horse, her all-day carnival underneath the bulbs adorned. My eyes dream her a naughty 40-second topless scant, dazzling, bewitching with her erotic glow, stroke to the natives. The winos, the deranged, her motley expressions, the concrete bitter, her asphalt sewer, her strange coaxial abreast the world has that was grown. Narrate an obscene spinning enchantment, a world different. Tout the tourist, the purses, her stoned, her slashed, her perverted zoo, color them all carnal. Below the motive marquees in triple X steps and lewd limbs, her inducing rush to the grindhouse of her dirty seed, her saints blushed. Tint her lust and paint her dirty fruit wet on wet and blushed on her mid-cap tableau, her cosmopolitan mythic phantasm. No one will publicly purchase this again. Her memory pricks me. Let this one gallery tone. And Paul.
Great read, Jeremy. Thank you very much. And Ben, why don't you start us off? What'd you think?
I think I'm jealous I didn't get to read that. I'm catching up now. I cut in. That must have been exciting to read. But fundraising. It was a smack in your face, foretelling of a certain time that just it was engaging. I enjoyed listening to it. A very vivid imagination.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sin. All right, Pam, how about you?
Oh, I think this is just absolutely brilliant. I think, well, Jeremy, you did a great read of that. This, it's just edgy, it's raw, it's sexuality and darkness right in your face. It's a wonderful personification of New York City, particularly Times Square. I like how it gets into the ugliness of life, my eyes dream her a naughty 42nd topless scat, dazzling, bewitching with an erotic glow, strokes the natives, her winos. But what I like about this is that I like how it's told from the perspective of an artist who paints her, you know, with the blending, the bloom, the wet on wet, the gallery tone, all those artist phrases used, painting phrases used, I think really added to the whole enchantment of the idea that we are seeing the ugliness of this city. We are seeing the ugliness of these people's lives as something beautiful because it's portrayed by an artist. You know, absolutely just a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Jeremy, you got to read it, so how about you?
Yeah, really cool perspective, Pam. I agree. I mean, I like that you can look at something that is shocking and you can create art out of it. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can look at it. You can look at it as shocking. You can look at it as lewd. You can look at it as offensive. You can look at it as art, or you can look at it as everyday life, too. You know, you can look at it as matter of fact, kind of like the Charles Bukowski way of saying things that are a life that is gambling and smoking and spitting and whoring, and then you think that it would be offensive, but really it's just, I don't know, it's a way of life for other people. So I think perspective is a lot of ways that you can carry this poem, and I think, like what Tim said, if someone else read it, you can read this again and have a different light with it. And so I think it's really fun to explore things that might be taboo to other people and bring it to life in poetry. So I think it was a very cool write.
Absolutely, I agree, because this was the Times Square, late 70s, 42nd Street and all that. It was very seedy and dirty place at the moment. You heard a lot of people go to New York City and they said it's got a particular smell. They can't quite pin it until it dawns on them. It smells like sour milk. And there was always that notation of come to the Big Apple, take a bite out of the Big Apple. But there was always that back end of draw of yes, but there's a rotten core to the Big Apple. And it took a while because the mobs had the city pretty much mobbed up, and they owned just about everything and got into even more. And the politicians were all dirty. A lot of the cops were dirty. So this painting actually, this thought to the painting itself, paints the ugliness of what once was a really tawdry and very seamy bit of the city itself. And it was easy to find. It was advertised. Everybody wanted to go to Times Square. Got to go there. And you got to check out everything that walks down it, including the little dollar store, dollar windows where you go in, drop your money in. Hey, this slides up. There's a girl behind there dancing. Oh, this is different. All the porn shops, nudies, you name it. And I like the thought with Chiaroscuro tricks. That was a nice touch of using the paint scheme there, blending of light and dark as the motif, then dropping in foul honeycomb in shades of obscenity, a flash of racy gleams, light of her electricity, the hours of godless cries. A nice touch to such a tawdry red light district, so to speak, and dropping in the, her orgasm scattered in a bloom of rash ejaculation. Not really talking about people, talking about the city itself. My eyes dream her a naughty 40-second topless scat, dazzling, bewitching with an erotic glow, stoked to the natives, her winos, the deranged, her mocking expressions, the concrete bitter, her asphalt sewer, her strange, farcical, abreast the wild that was grown. It was notable. It was that, Guns N' Roses went to New York once, and that's where that song came, Welcome to the Jungle. And after all, the Bronx was always known as the Bronx Zoo for years.
What can you do for a dollar in New York again, Rex? What was it, were those doors? Where were you going? I'm hanging out with you in the big
city,
buddy. Well,
that was 50 years ago. Hell, those $10 little back alley things, it costs you $100 now. That is, if you can find one.
I wouldn't know.
They prefer upscale for their Manhattan suburbanites. We deliver. Oh, yes. Nothing like improving the neighborhood by making sure you throw out the $100 models just so you can have a $500 or $1,000 model come in to take care of business. It seems less seemlier. All right, Pam, we're coming back to you.
All right. Great comment there, Rex. And up next we have Tata Kulvitz by Rose Winter 515. And it goes like this. Peace, please, barbed wire keeps cattle in and rustlers out, but nations also use barbed wire for defense to stop invaders in their tracks and so protect their citizens' lives from enemy attack. War is different. War begets another war as grievances build up one on top of another. This war to end all wars did not end bloodshed, and there has been fighting all over the world for one thing or another. Jaw is better than war. Whatever the leaders say or do, nobody wants to die. Nobody wants their family and friends to die. And we all know this, so do the warmongers. Let us live in peace and have a new world, fairness, kindness, compassion, toleration, and healing of divisions across the world. Peace, prayer, and poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jeremy, why don't we kick it with you?
First of all, love the play in the title, the fact that it's please without me, and they're begging for the peace. That's a cool touch right out of the gate. And this is a really timely poem. I mean, we are right on the brink of it today, tomorrow, whenever, who knows what's going on over there with Russia and the Ukraine. So this kind of is a great time to be talking about this kind of thing. I mean, I know personally, when I was growing up as a youth 50 years ago with Rex looking at the nudies in New York, I was torn both ways. I almost joined the military. I almost went that path. And there's that duality of man where you want to fight and you want to protect and you want to love your country. But then there's also the live and let live. And that's kind of the voice that kind of was louder in my heart. That was, I guess, the poetry voice in my heart that said, you know what, I can't do this. And I think every time I read a poem, an anti-war poem, there's a time for it, right? It's always existed in the history of man, the fighting and war. But really, when you look at it, you want this higher level of pleas for peace. You want everyone to calm down, talk it out, and get along. It's a tough pill to swallow. It's a tough way to negotiate, and it's a tough way to convince everyone to be on the same page with all of this. But again, this is an extremely timely poem. What's going on in the world today, and I appreciate it for that aspect.
Well said, Jeremy. Thank you. And gotcha.
You cut out there for a second, but I assume you said Sin, right?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
I pushing tribute to society's chaos and looks forward to unity, which doesn't seem foreseeable, but it has to be. We have to have hope that things will change and a little bit better. Enjoyable piece.
Absolutely, I'll agree on that one. There, the only problem is it's the imbecility that we have in power across the world that seems to be the issue. They're more attuned to actually lining their own pockets and then crushing the spirits of their citizens than rather actually taking care of their own country. Because why? Hey, they've got taxpayer money to spend on someone else's protection across the way. Meanwhile, they don't offer any protection at home. So it's kind of a two-bob fold. Yo, people, wake the hell up. You might try starting by getting rid of the imbeciles first. And within that, you might actually find the fact that there are other people who are willing to walk that way if they're getting some back, and the backing is themselves. And if you're tired of it, you got to make a stand somewhere, or else fold under the weight of 1984 coming down very, very fast. And Pam, you read that. What about you?
Well, I think, first of all, you guys all made great comments. They're wonderful observations. Yeah, I have to agree. There is, we always want that kind of certain sense of hope that there will be that peace throughout the world. But unfortunately, as Jeremy said, you know, war, you know, has its place. It seems to be a part of life, because, you know, there are times we have to defend ourselves, to defend our countries. But there's also times where, you know, the war, you know, it just simply feels like a way to line the pockets of the rich. I really like how she centered her stanzas and spaced them so that there was this kind of sense of pause, especially with lines like, you know, the line, war is different. Using that as a separator to lead into the next thought, I thought was, really just a great way to present the poem. And I like how she offers us up the idea that perhaps someday we can all learn to heal together. Beautifully written and very well done.
Well, war is deliberate. It's done for two reasons: to steal resources off one country for another, and to actually kill as many people and dislodge as many people on both sides so that there is a gap in generation moving forward. In other words, it slows down the spread of more humanity because you're busy killing off generations in between. So they make money that way too.
Yep.
And I mean, would you argue, Rex, or everyone, would you argue that war, the motivation for war, has more noble causes or more heartfelt causes in the past, where more recent times it seems more financially motivated?
I would probably agree with that.
Even World War I started off as a motivation from country to country, the thought of having Ferdinand being killed by a Serbian was deliberate. Because then you get to blame the fact that, oh, it wasn't just an assassination attempt taken out by somebody. It was taken out by Serbia, and now we have the reason to go into Serbia, destroy them and take what we want from them and have it spread globally. So where you've got now, the whole thought of Europe itself has changed logistically. World War II kind of went the same way. Unfortunate thing is we had people over here who actually thought what Hitler was doing was really a good thing. Time magazine had him honored as the Man of the Year twice on the front page of their covers. There were, you had the, what was it?
There was even
1933 coup over here was taken over by people who wanted this country to look more like Germany at that point in time with the Weimar thoughts going through. And yes, we can run from the top down. Wow, got real quiet in here.
No, I'm waiting for Pam. Pam, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, sorry. Sometimes I get over here and try to interrupt. But no, I remember watching a special. There was, and I can't remember her name, but there was a real famous Olympian ice skater that was a big supporter of Hitler. And I can't imagine she was the only one, you know, because, you know, as Rex was mentioning, you know, he was, you know, Time Magazine's Man of the Year. And I imagine that he had a lot of support from, you know, people who, famous people who were listened to because, you know, their opinion was respected. So it's really interesting to me how that's how life works. Sometimes, but you know, as far, you know, I have never been in the military. I've never been to war, you know, so, and I don't know, I can't say I'm an expert on history at all, but in my opinion, what I feel like is that in all of life in general, there has been a great, decline in values, in how we treat each other or honor. Like, you know, it used to be like, you know, my stepmother, for all her flaws, had one thing she taught us, and she taught us well, and that is, if you make a promise, you keep it. You know, if it has, you know, anything to do with honor and, you know, with doing things for the right reason and being, you know, protectors, you know, has just gone down the toilet. So in my opinion, yes, I do believe that the war was far probably a more honorable thing in the past, simply because I feel like people had a better grasp of what it meant to be honorable. But that's just my opinion. People can take it or leave it.
No, and I think that it was kind of a loaded question, because if we go back to Rose Winter's poem, and you think about who the real victims of all of this is, and if the motivation for war is something, it's something of a global economy and a global scale, and it's financially motivated, that's much different than William Wallace running down the hills of Scotland with his kilt on protecting his farm. You know, it seems like it's, like what you just said, Pam, it's not a noble fight for way of life the way it is now, I guess. It's thicker now. It's thicker because we're all involved, and it's thicker because, I mean, even what just happened in Afghanistan or what's always happening across the planet now seems much more big business than heart and soul, I guess is a simple way to put it. And I think that's the tragedy. And I think that's why when you look at this poem and you're asking for the peace of please, you want to say to the society, can't we evolve beyond this and figure out a way together? If it is a global economy, can't we figure out a way together to move forward?
Absolutely. All right, and Rex, I'm guessing you'd like to know what I have for you next.
Well, I thought I'd wait until next Tuesday to see what we got going on.
All right.
Well,
up
where are we
next
going now?
We have, all right, now we are going to Dysmetropsia by Rich F., which I probably just totally butchered that title, and thank goodness Rex is going to be reading this poem.
Uh-huh, yeah. All right. Dysmetropsia by Rich F. And so this war goes on and on and on. These artisans now dying in the mud. And who will save us when all hope is gone? Our sisters, brothers, drowning in their blood. Blood all spilt now for this bourgeois breed, as Karl had called us to cast off our chains. We slave and toil to satisfy our need. We fight, lose, and they take all the gain. Onward working warriors, marching as to war, lumpen proletariat, bear the scars once more. When I watch our wonder troops, marching on and ever on, magnificent we leap through hoops. Oh, how I wished we'd jump upon our tarnished leaders' tiny brains and let these pedants share our pain. And so this war goes on without an end. Our lords and ladies do not know the story. And while the middle classes play pretend, we socialists still spill our guts for glory. And Paul. All right, Pam, you got first up.
Well, first of all, excellent read there, Rex. I have to say, I always enjoy Rich F.'s poetry. I like that he can write about such a dark and gritty and just, just intense topic like war with a rhyme that kind of flows and bounces. And what I like is the first person's perspective of, and when I watch our wonder troops marching on and ever on, magnificent we leap through hoops, or how I wish we jump upon our tarnished leaders' tiny brains and let these pedants share our pain. That whole idea to me, that one stanza speaks so greatly about the rebellion, about the wish for those who sit safely away from the war to feel the pain that the soldier does, that the common man does. I think this is just a wonderful visceral imagery all the way through, and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Jeremy, how about you?
Yeah, I don't need to get in my soapbox about war again, guys. Sorry about that. What I like about this, what I like about this is my younger sister finally started getting into poetry after all the years that I've been preaching it. She finally started studying Shakespearean poetry, and she wanted to understand what a sonnet was all about and what it meant. And I like how Rich did this. I like his classic sonic form, and then he was able to deviate from it, and I think it was successful. I think any time that poets are able to make a classic form their own and experiment a little bit, I'm always pleased with it, and I always identify it, and I get kind of caught up in the rhyme scheme and how it is successful and what works and what doesn't. And I think what Rich did here was really clever. I liked the overall format, and I liked, like what Pam said, I liked the flow of it all. So kudos for that.
Excellent. Thank you, Jeremy. And Finn, how about you?
Well, I got ahead for a second. I checked the artist that he did a lot of his research for the poem with, and it's really, really, really interesting to see how art spoke for a generation, but our government can't. Beautifully written.
Thank you, Tim. I like the start with Disneytropes here to begin with, that disproportionate look between how one views something between large and small scale. Sometimes you see it large, sometimes you see it small, like a distant difference in difference and how one perceives that which is going on. And he hits on that with a couple of things, and it's not just the sort of war itself, which is one way of looking at it, but also the thought was you've got Karl Marx rolled into this as well. As Karl had called us off to cast our chains, we slave and toil to satisfy our need. We fight, lose, and they take all the gains. So there's that the class warfare that rolls into that too. And people forget that Marx was German back in the day, a philosopher and economist, supposedly, and everything else went with it. He espoused these ideals, which went two different directions, communism and Nazism, kind of hit on the same page at the same moment in the early 30s until one took it totally and the other one got stuffed outside the box elsewhere. And then it's sort of our wonder troops. Then there's that note again of the communist value hitting on, march on and ever on, magnificent, we leap through hoops. And the thought then at the back end of that is our tarnished leaders, tiny brains, and let these pedants share our pain. There is a notion of, hey, you know what? Those who actually send off to war never really experience the war itself, nor does their family, because they're always protected, so to speak, which is the thought they understand the perils of tribulations and that which comes in war, and they don't want their own actually in it unless they are otherwise militarily engaged. Coming back to you, Pam.
Well said there, Rex. And, yeah, I highly recommend that anybody who hasn't check out the artwork of Kata Kollwitz. She used her work, her talent, to, show the plight of the common man back in World War I and before. And it's the kind of art that's relevant even today. So, and up next, we have One Day by Patrick Childs. And, Sin, I sent you that link, so if you could give that a read for us, I'd appreciate it.
All right, yep. One Day by Patrick Childs. This world is not for long. One day, to hell and gone. Out of touch with reality, eyes open, a blank stare, stumbling through the dark, headlong in despair, seeking shelter in religion, a construct of men, giving reason to the killing, preaching murder as a sin, excusing them for slaughter of men, women, children. Same story, not worth repeating, and ending up unjust begins again. Shunning the responsibility, giving glory to the Almighty, the extermination of a race, to create the perfect society. A lesson mankind will never learn. Self-destruction is in his nature. History's way of repeating itself. Looking back, he sees his future. The world is not for long. One day, to hell and gone. And peace.
Excellent read, Sin. Thank you very much. And Jeremy, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, this is really punchy, Patrick. I mean, there's a period at the end of every line. I mean, this thing just... And I'm glad that Sin read this because of his style earlier. I mean, I think it was kind of fitting. I don't think there was the emphasis. Sin wasn't the author. But I got into it once again. I mean, this punchy little hitting of sentiment worked really well with the way Sin, you presented this poem. So bravo on the breed. In terms of the content of the poem, it's really interesting. It's really interesting what the point they're trying to make and the way it's presented. I think if you're giving me a bunch of lines and you're giving me a bunch of hot points, I'm going to look at each banner. And I guess that's the way I can best describe it. There's a banner of thought processes, and they fall upon one another, and it is coherent in terms of its flow. But in terms of the style, I'm intrigued by it, and I like the fact that it's so hard-hitting and how it's punctuated and how it's presented.
Excellent journey. Thank you. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this does have a wonderful presentation. Sin did a great read of this. I'm not usually a fan of having a period after every line, but in this case, it really does work because it allows you to pause and it really, hits the point home. Seeking shelter in religion, a construct of men given reason to the killing. To me, those are powerful lines that, speak on the whole idea as to how throughout history, mankind has killed in the name of religion, and a lesson mankind will never learn. Self-destruction is his nature. History says of repeating itself. Looking back, he sees his future. You know, sadly, you know, we just don't always learn from history. We always look back and say, yeah, we're not going to do that again. There's a really just cold edge to this poem that, you know, kind of helps open your eyes and see that far too often killing happens, you know, in the name of giving glory to a higher power. What people are doing is they're just simply giving glory to them or trying to give glory to themselves with brutality. And just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Sin, you got to read it. What do you think?
Sorry, I was muted. I'm trying to find what I wrote down. Clever wording and rhyme scheme. It was fun to read. Engaging in the moment. Something we have to tread lightly with. Enjoy the read.
Wow, thank you very much. I got to go with the open. This world does not belong one day to hell and gone, and its repeat used to finish. I like the book-ended effect because it bears the need to have something that stands as the pillar, so to speak, for the center section. Almost like a bookend, open the book itself, the front sleeve and the back sleeve, and everything sitting in between. And that kind of hits on the note of, we haven't done more killing across this world than in the name of religion. And that's why religion needs to move from governing bodies as a thought, because you spend too much time working between the two. And all of a sudden, everything gets done in the name of religious tonality. And then that religious tonality loses its perspective and its thought to what the religion is supposed to represent in the first place, which is the betterment of man, the thought to God, and that which the people mean under God, or whatever religious core belief you go with. But if you're preaching, it's a good day to die because God told me to, then there's something wrong with that picture, mentally as well as physically. Walking on that tongue of disintegration is actually not walking along the thought of what the religious aspect was supposed to be about in the first place, which is cherish your cherish those around you and give unto God your life. And you can't do that if you're murdering everybody. I think the idea of the separation of the church and the state itself is a workable thought, but still, you got all these lunatics that bastardize religion in their own right and do all kinds of miserable, crappy things to people in the sake of cleansing, in the sake of, well, hey, the chosen one. Yeah, you guys end up dead first.
Well said, Rex.
I'm coming back your way.
All right.
We
up next, we
should be on this rage of, damn, we've got some rights there telling us, yeah, this shit stinks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hear you there. I do. And all right. Up next, we have Empty Bellies by Nora Nine. And Jeremy, will you give that a refresh, please?
Absolutely, I will. Empty Bellies by Nora Nine. The children's bellies are empty. The empty bellies rumble. The empty bellies are an aching void. The empty bellies grumble. The children's eyes are saucers. Their imploring faces reproach us. Empty bellies. Empty bowls. Their empty bowls reproach us. The children plead for a morsel of food from the kind. Good ladies dishing it out.
who can be ladies kind and good? Because they are all rich ladies. And children's mothers are not rich ladies. They grow hungry themselves to feed their children, but they do not have no more food for the empty bellies, for the grumbling, aching voids. Who will feed the hungry children? Who will feed the hungry mothers? And Paul.
Great read, Jeremy. Thank you very much. This came out almost like a children's rhyme. Something you get the kiddies to sing, Mary Had a Little Lamb, so to speak. That second stanza kind of hit me with the thought of their children's eyes as sources, their imploring faces reproaches, empty bellies, empty bowls, their empty bowls reproaches. There's always that little bit of turnabout phrase that sings in on itself and further down the piece itself, kind of hitting on the notion of, yeah. All right, Pam, what you got?
I was just going to say in the room, great observation there, Rex. There is I think it's a straightforward, simple language, and the repetitive language that you, over and over again, you see the empty bellies, the children mentioned, the mothers mentioned, and it really has a kind of repetitiveness that has a nursery rhyme feel. And I think sometimes when you think of somebody speaking to children, speaking to a future generation through poetry, it gives that message of, the whole idea of these thoughts being passed on to the next generation. And I really thought this was a great write with its repetitiveness and the idea that those words hit home. But I like that she ended with the questions, who will feed the hungry children? Who will feed the hungry mothers? Because it's not just about, pointing out a problem. It's about asking people to stand up and do something about the problem. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you. And Sinister, how about you?
I thought this was an endearing tribute to very unfortunate time in our society. We have to pay attention to a lot more than just ourselves. This world is falling apart. Everybody needs to come together.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And Jeremy, you got to read that. How about you?
Yeah, I appreciate what all three of you have said about this, and I can't agree more. I mean, what I like stylistically was best described in the second and in the fourth. And I like this is going to be kind of graphic. You know when you feel sick and it comes in waves, or when you're high and it comes and it comes in waves and it kind of laps upon itself? And I think, Rex, you kind of talked about that in the repetition. Both you and Pam both talked about in the repetition about how it stacks, and I like that in the second and in the fourth about how Nora built on this concept and how the repetition kind of it compiled upon itself. And I like that stacking growth of the pain of what this whole poem, the whole sentiment of the poem is built upon. So those two particular stanzas I thought were really well crafted. And in terms of the sentiment and what Sin said, yeah, I can't agree more. I mean, this is a problem, and it hurts. It's hard for all of us.
Thank you very much. Great comments, everybody. All right, Pam, what are we doing next?
All right. Up next, we have No Nombre by Passion's Promise, and it goes like this. Tossed out like yesterday's trash, bruised and beaten, death digging claws into the unknown, and I am left here bleeding. Escalato, no nombre, just a mass collection of fragments, a history not told, its memories frayed, what's going on in twisted minds? Sleepless and sweat-stained nights, dreaming of burning fields and screams. I wake with torn clothes from these fights, and life is nothing as it seems. Ayadami, O sacred land, I bleed and dream of dying with trembling bones beneath me and whispers of hatred flying. Spirit, please release these chains. Let loose the killer's refuge. Dig deep and give me names. I can no longer walk this walk confused. End poem.
Great revamp. Thank you very much. And Jeremy, why don't you kick us off?
Great read, Pam. Yeah, no, this is very cool. I like the touch of Spanish, touched in with all of it. There is a desperation to all of this, and I like the fact that you can use a different language to accentuate that. Even if you're not familiar without the footnotes of what's going on, knowing that there's that plea, there's that cry of, well, I mean, it says, Ayudame, I mean, it's crying for help. And so I like that there's that mix. I think poetry and language in general, especially when you can celebrate it once again and bring something that's different than people are used to, take them out of that comfort level, especially with a poem like this, this is so charged plea and a desperation. I think it works extremely well. And obviously the graphic supports everything that's felt in this entire poem.
Excellent. Thank you, Jeremy. And Sin, how about you?
Well, I didn't get to read it, but I followed along. And, I enjoyed what I heard. I wish I could read it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you, Sin. Pam, how about you?
Oops, I'm sorry. That was I forgot to send you that poem. All right. Well, sorry about that. I thought this was. I too liked the little touches of Spanish. And what I liked is that this is told in that first person perspective of someone who has been through war, who has seen these horrors. It reads like someone who suffers from PTSD. And it's just trying to find that sense of peace, the begging for it, because their mind, especially their dreaming mind, keeps taking them back to the war, to the blood, to the death. I really like how this comes across as not only that they're seeking a freedom of mind, but that they're looking back at the horror of a history that's kept in silence, a history not told, its memories frayed. And to me, I think that would have to be one of the most horrifying things is to know the truth, to have been a part of a truth and to watch it being twisted and covered up. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Oh, well said. I'm going to look at this as a collection of little pieces that interconnect but are different from each perspective. The first one, you kind of get the thought of homeless. The second one, there's a kind of a note to a mass burial. The third one, the sleepless, sweat-stained nights, the burning fields and screams, kind of hits on the note of those sitting inside a war-torn country. And Ayudame, that kind of hits me with the thought of soldiers dying on foreign fields, understanding what's going on. Now, the back end of this, Spirit, please release these chains, let loose the killer's refuge, dig deep and give me names, I can no longer walk this walk confused. It's kind of that idea of singularity waking up in the moment and understanding there are more than just a singularity. There are many who feel that way or have been through enough of that to walk that very same thought. All right, Pam, we're coming back your way.
All right. Up next we have Invisible Voices by Adrian 41062. And Rex, will you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. Invisible Voices by Adrian 41062. Are we still living in Victorian days? More, sir, more. We need food. What an illusion this world portrays. Rib cages on legs, dirty water, death grasps, melancholy faces with the sadness of a zombie, just a hole in the ground for those little bodies. Chechnya, Rwanda, Kenya, Somalia, these children, same expression, eyes sunken, taking the final breath, fooling ourselves into our lives are hard if we haven't got enough money to live. With our fast cars and our big houses, telling ourselves, whatever floats your boat. I'm okay. I have all I need. Charities support them. No wonder our world is so dark and fragile. And, oh. All right, Pam, you get first look.
Great. Great read there, Rex. I really liked your whole little, David Copperfield type voice or whoever that was, Tiny Tim. I can't remember, but, yeah, you did that very well. I like that he starts out with that question, that whole idea, of are we still living in this time period where children are starving? I thought this was wonderfully written couplets that had a nice flow to them, even though it wasn't rhyming. It just still, there was a certain kind of meter to it. I like that he points out that there are still areas of this world where, children have that expression of sunken eyes and death taking the final breath. And I like that he hits hard with the thoughts of, that we're only trying to fool ourselves when we cover up the problems by focusing on ourselves and our, big houses and big boats and, big hot tubs. And a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jeremy, how about you?
Yeah, it definitely spurs thought, and I like that comment, Pam. I like the comment that you said about the couplets and the fact that they're well paired. It's well metered, because it's almost like the poem that Sin read earlier, where we have the periods after every line. They're paired very well in the fact that there's a point. And again, like what Rex did in his reading of this, the can I have another bowl, sir, right out of the gate. I mean, everything is paired well, and the points hit hard, and it makes you want to think. And the fact that it's framed with invisible voices, it makes you kind of feel like a shit bag for not giving more or not being part of the greater society, the greater solution to what goes on with mankind, I mean, I think these are great questions that we all need to ask ourselves. I think it's pitched in a really cool way, and I think it's not so hard-hitting that it's off-putting. If you look at the second to last where it says whatever floats your boat, I mean, there's kind of that double entendre of what they're saying of the stab, but also saying, all right, you need to pay attention to what's really going on. So really well-crafted. I agree.
Nicely said, Jeremy. Thank you. And Sin, how about you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. A powerful message of awareness, not just a Facebook click, but evolving oneself and a cause in their neighborhood and something just engaging. This poem screams out, why are we engaging? And it's a good question, well written.
Excellent, thank you. And the Chechnya, Rwanda, Kenya, Somalia, these children, same expression, eyes sunken, death taking the final breath. I'll agree with that, but we're also forgetting the fact that with that, Chechnya, Rwanda, Kenya, Somalia, these are the death grounds for purging, ethnic cleansing, so to speak. And with all the influx of everyone in the world putting their 2 cents in and actually going further by making sure their 2 cents actually gets elected, kind of takes away from the fact that you can't cure that which you're helping create by putting in those you want there in the first place, and then don't doing anything about the people when they go on a cleansing spree, and it's because you put them there in the first place. I think for the most part, we stood at a other countries' politics, they could sort themselves out easily enough without actually having to go down the dark road of listening to this country, that country, or another country, just because they put money in instead of taking it out. All right, Pam, what you got next?
All right. Well said there, Rex. And up next, we have Heartbeat Song by Lockdown Larks. And, Sin, I sent you the link for that. If you could give it a read for us, please.
Okay. Heartbeat Song by Lockdown Larks. In the twilight zone, all is still, thoughts of family, friends, and goodwill. Suddenly, lightning and thunder invades this haven of slumber. Flashes of death and catastrophe, sports people take the knee. Shake one's head, vigorously wake up, it's just a fantasy. Oh no, it's real, what can be done? Is there a pathway for all to be one? A distant sound whispers like a heartbeat song. I'll live, I'll die, I'll laugh, I'll cry. Twilight again, see all born of a special place, being part of one human race. See all living things discriminate only to survive and procreate. When humans finding a collective will reaching beyond nature's basic skill. But the tempest rages, not all support the vow. The one and all are equal now. Nightmares past cannot be undone. Only ahead can all become one. Louder now, a heartbeat strong. I'll live, I'll die, I'll laugh, I'll cry. On into the dream looking for more, finding the key to unlock the door. Could all show their support when meeting and conveying the vow in one greeting, hand on heart and arm open wide, so all can see one is the one on their side. No instruction needed from on high, one and all, free, give it a try. Gender, color, country, or creed, matters not in this collective deed. Heartbeat crescendo, becoming a throng, I'll live, I'll die. I'll laugh, I'll cry. Can a simple gesture of respect enable all hearts and minds to connect? Nothing now to tear apart if all show they are one in their heart. A simple symbol of human pride and quality vow acceptable worldwide. All the skeptics will naysay but think it's just one heartbeat away. Into the future, seeing them recall the time all became one and one became all. Heartbeat harmony is now lifelong. I'll live, I'll die, I'll laugh, I'll cry, and peace.
Oh, great read, and thank you very much. All right, Jeremy, why don't you kick us off? What do you think?
Great read, Sam. Absolutely. And there's a couple things that are obvious that I got to touch on. It's very lyrical. I think you can agree that the refrain feels like there's this marching order to all of it that you just kind of want to, again, it's a lyrical poem in my opinion. I like the capitalization. I think the capitalization makes the message very clear that we all need to come together. And I think it's in your face, the fact that he capitalized and made it so clear about all of that, but sometimes that's what a message really takes. And so it wasn't too overwhelming. I think it works in this poem. So I like the fact that the format took that bold move. And I think being guilty of a poet sometimes makes things too cryptic. I think a lot of times if things are in the reader's face and they can really understand that this is all about unity, then the message is that much clearer and that much more heartfelt when someone knows what's going on right from the beginning. So I appreciate that.
Nice. Thank you, Jeremy. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this definitely has a really great lyrical quality, and I like how there's a buildup of intensity with a distant sound whispers like a heartbeat song. I'll live, I'll die, I'll laugh, I'll cry. Louder now, a heartbeat strong. Like the voices, it's like that crowd that is cheering on, and it just keeps getting louder and louder. On into this dream, looking for more, find a key to unlock the door. Could all the all show their support when meeting and convey the vow in one's greeting? Wonderful question there. Wonderful food for thought in the idea of, you know, can we set aside our thoughts of ourselves I really like the line, a simple symbol of human pride in an equality vow accepted worldwide. Really just intriguing line and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Sin, you got to read this. What did you think?
Well, I'm going to agree with the part about a lyrical poem. I'm not much of a lyrical poet myself. I've done it like twice. So I admire when someone can pull it off and have a strong message of courage and walk in the right line. And it worked. And it did work. It kept your eyes moving forward to the next line. Great piece.
Excellent. I do like the progression on the two-line break in between each stanza. But as you get, it hits on that notion, too, that this only gets accomplished through transcendence of conscience and spirit. Until we get there, the all-in-one angle is something to accede to and strive for. But without that that move transcendentally, it's going to be a hard-pressed road to even get most, let alone everybody, walking that very same path. All right, Pam, we're coming to you.
All right, and now we are actually on to the rites inspired by Richard Brautigan, which I will say that we are definitely going to have quite a few carryovers. So, you know, whatever you're planning for next week, you might want to just plan on doing like an 8 spots only contest and saving that for your another week.
Well, my guess it won't last in 8 spots, but it'll be more. But that's okay. I'll see what gives.
Okay. Sounds good to me. So up next we have Under the Bridge by Mamyaw, and it goes like this. So we run as the rain splashes onto the ground, our breasts plooming in the cold. Under a bridge we take shelter, hugging for warmth, but we generate more heat than necessary. Lips touch, tongues clash, and we tear at each other's clammy bodies, wanting to claim more of that inferno inside. Licking coin slots in the dark and polishing halves and half tight, we engage ourselves in the body electric. Engorged and enlarged, our hypothalamus ignite. Desperate runny nose, despite runny noses, wipe it off, squeeze a while. Oh, that makes it tighter. Until, at last, the magic wears off. We don our jackets, we pocket your delicates, and we're back under the rain, waiting for an Uber to take you home. End poem.
And maybe I took the prompt, the Donner Party, forsaking, fucking in the cold, eating each other, lost, runny noses, complaining all the time, like so many people that we know. Ooh, the Donner Party. Yeah, talk about Rocky Mountain oysters. All right, Jeremy, we're coming your way. What'd you think?
What did you just say? Man, sorry, ma'am, y'all. This is an amazing poem. I love the fact that you have an incredible build up to it, and it's Under the Bridge downtown, Red Hot Chili Peppers, having some fun underneath and really getting sensual with all of it. It's very steamy, and I think that you do a wonderful job of bringing the heat, the progression to all of it. Had me enthralled. I think what I liked was in the last line in the third, we engage ourselves in the body electric. That is the line that got me in the mood of what you were trying to create, Mamyaw. So I'm a fan. I think you did a great job, and it fits. It really fits.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Jeremy. And Sin, how about you?
I got to say, this was a slap in the face. It kicked ass. It took no names, but all the substance
was used perfectly. It was just really enjoyable poem. I liked that it was not so overly graphic that you threw a bad image. It painted a picture, and it was a nice one to see.
Excellent. Thank you, Finn. All right, Pam, you got to read it.
Yeah, this one, I mean, I have to say, I think this is brilliant. I have to agree that it really kicks ass. I, too, was really enthralled with the phrase body electric, because, of course, it makes you think of Walt Whitman and the kind of undertone of sexuality that he so often had in his poetry. Licking coin slots in the dark and polishing halves in half light. That, too, just amazing lines. And what I like about this is it's just that brutality of in the moment, you know, just physically needing each other because the rest of life just really sucks. So you might as well get something out of it. And I like, it's interesting how it's so intense in its sexuality and its imagery, and then it just kind of sputters down to the everyday, the you know, waiting for the Uber to take you home, and you know, to me that just was a perfect way to wrap it up, because it has that idea of those certain parts of life we leave behind because they're not needed in our everyday lives. Just a strong write and very well done.
Thank you very much. I like that thought with the body electric too. It thinks me on the Twilight Zone episode. I sing the body electric. But I too like the run in this was right from the get out, the quit the mad dash, so to speak. To get out of the rain, the bridge for protection, and then it hits in the starts rolling in the thoughts, the clammy bodies wanting to claim more of that inferno inside, the body electric, then the little touches of oddities that work with it because they're not strictly engaged with the scenery as itself, but because of the scenery, you've got the spite running your nose, just wipe it off. Sneeze a while, oh, that makes it tighter. A little touch of humor, engorged, enlarged. Our hypothalamus ignites, and then the magic wears off. We don our jackets, you pocket your delegates. We're back under the rain, waiting for an Uber to take you home. Little touches of wry, dry humor to add a little bit of everyday cohesive angle to it instead of it just being something that pops in the mind, all right, yeah. Because you do the little things afterwards anyway, like stand in the rain, wait for a taxi to come.
Yeah, and I agree there's a lot of wry, dry humor to compound on what you both just said, and I think there's a youthfulness to it. I mean, what you both just said really opened my eyes to the fact that once you get the payoff, like what Pam said, you're done. You're going off on the Uber, and it's back to normal life. So, yeah, I think there's a bit of both of that, and I like that Mamyal is able to touch upon something that in my old age I've kind of forgotten. So, yeah, I think it captures something that's really special. No, I mean, you guys, you know what I'm saying. I think we all know what I'm saying.
Yes, our youthful exuberance clearly outweighs our moral sensibilities at the time and place.
Absolutely.
All right, Pam, where are you going next?
All right. Up next we have According to the Inbox by Ia, and we have a recording for that, so here we go.
Hi, this is Ia, here to read my poem, According to the Inbox. According to the Inbox, I got 49 likes this week, 4 on Regarding the Spoonerism Inveritably, 4 on Hereafter, 3 on What's in Store, 3 on Les Anis de Flavigny, and 3 on The Race is On. Lifetime likes stand at 11,625. Rank and file, 162 this week, 146 lifetime achievement. Fuck, this is getting old. I want to be your recent view.
Great read, EA. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It's greatly appreciated. All right, Pam, what do you think? There was a touch of wry and really dry humor to bite the end of this one.
Oh, definitely. But you know what? To me, what she does very well, first of all, I really enjoy her reads, and I like the fact that she's always got a little bit of a preempt before she actually reads the poem itself. She's done a wonderful job of capturing the essence of, you know, Richard Brautigan's style, which is oftentimes very short, very straightforward language, to the point. And, yeah, I like that the first part of the poem is that listing off of the poems, and then that, like you had mentioned, Rex, that dry, wry humor of, fuck, this is getting old. But it's not just humor. It's a combination of humor and sadness with, I want to be your recent view. You know, it's that whole idea of handling the overwhelming sadness that the one person you want to notice you isn't noticing you, with that humor and with that distraction of saying, looking at stats. And it's not just on all poetry, in life in general, you know, we find ways to look at any kind of stats and say, where am I doing good in life? Where are people noticing me, you know? And so, like, you know, social media is a good example of that. But, yeah, just a really great brevity in the Richard Brautigan style, and very well done.
Well said, yeah, thank you. And Jeremy, how about you?
Screw it, I'm going back to it. So, yeah, so in Brautigan's book, An Abortion, it's about a library. What I've heard, it's about a library that is all about books that have never been published. And so they list all of the names and the titles of these books. And actually, in the real world, people got inspired by this book and created it, okay? So what Ia did here is did exactly that. She's talking about, she's giving the stats, and then she's putting that emotion, but she's dropping the F-bomb. She's saying, and that is the spirit of all of this, and I love it. I have a smile during everything what Pam commented on, a smile during everything what this poem said in the presentation, and I think it has a cool spirit. Guys, sometimes there's those poems that you just want to pound your fist and say, this person gets it, and I think Ia did it for this contest 100%.
Excellent. And Sin, how about you?
I would say fuck indeed. That was a ride and a half. There was no holding back in that, taken in many ways, but the underlying reason for it is just hilarious. I love it. Great piece.
Well, absolutely. Great comments, everybody. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, where are we going next?
All right. Up next we have Capture the Crowd by Weaver of Dreams, and we also have a recording for that one. So, I know it's here somewhere. All right. There we go.
It's not your fault. You don't know that you're boring. I expect you think you're witty and erudite. I don't want to appear like a total bubble buster, but even armed with all the facts, something isn't right. You have wisdom to impart, but it's not going well. Where's the pizzazz, the oomph, the theatrical flair? I'd save time and give them the book to read. They've lost the will to live. They no longer care. Have you thought about giving your lecture naked? Do a Marcel Marceau. Explain it in mime. This desperately needs to capture them more. No, they're leaving. You've run out of time.
Great read, Weaver. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It's truly appreciated. I like the brick with the bumps in this and that last stanza. Have you thought about giving your lecture naked? You will must know much better to explain it in mine. The spectrum needs to capture them more. Now they're leaving, you run out of time. I imagine that someone who's so boring that they had to do it naked and, oh my God, they're leaving in droves. What did they do wrong? Yeah, show your flesh. I think the Bidenist is funny. All right, Jeremy, why don't we start with you?
I love the sound class. And no, this is this. I just commented on one of your poems earlier tonight, Rex, and this is the kind of thing that I was trying to capture. My silly little comment is, yeah, you guys need to push the envelope because I'm not impressed. And I love the fact that it's captured the crowd. I think that the presentation with poetry, there's when we read it and we interpret it, and then when we can listen to someone in the sound club present it, is two totally different things. And I think what was happening here with Kate's poem is she did a great job of the spirit. I think everyone that's given sound cloud tonight have done that, and it's an added flair to everything that goes on. So love the sentiment, love the sound cloud. Really well done.
Thank you, Jeremy. Sin, how about you?
There we go, got off mute. All right. This was like, what the fuck are we wasting our time for? It's simple facts written in a charming way that grabs a hold of you and you can understand where the direction is going and get almost to a point of frenzy with the writer. Great piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sin. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I enjoyed her read. This poem alone made me smile and laugh as I was on mute. But then listening to you comment, Rex, and you laugh, that too just, you know, it just makes me smile. To me, I adore the humor in this. I adore the idea of somebody being so straightforward and saying, listen, I don't mean to burst your bubble, but you're boring. And I know you don't realize it, and I know you think because you know all these facts that people are intrigued. But I like how the end stanza with this great humor says, maybe I can offer you some advice. Have you tried lecturing naked? Have you tried miming things out? I mean, this was just great. I very much enjoyed it. Very well done.
I know you've tried it, Pam. I know you've lectured naked.
I've not only lectured naked, I've mimed naked. You've never seen... you have to see Pam in a box. Now the gossip's going to go all over all poetry.
Absolutely.
Around the world in 2 seconds in timing.
Exactly. All right. Well, I'll go ahead and get the next poem up. I think we can get one last one in, and then we'll have a few carryovers, and those will go on next week's show. So up next we have Drip Dry Star Juice by Rich F., which we also have a recording for. So, finding that, and here we go.
The stars that shine high up above, these watermelons in the sky. He squeezes them and drips them dry, and now they rain their tears of love. And down below, bedraggled Moggy, dipping paws in frozen pond, adores the fish that fears the doggy. Winter waves her magic wand.
Great read, Rich. Thank you very much for the sauerkraut. It is greatly appreciated. And Pam, why don't you start off?
I really like this. First of all, it's an excellent brevity. You know, and to me, it's not always easy to rhyme a brevity because you have to, you know, well, you know, there's something about rhyme that it can be easy to just keep going with the flow and not limit yourself. Wonderful, clever language. I like that you use the word doggy and moggy instead of instead of dog and finding like perhaps something else to rhyme with dog. You know what I mean? Like, because there's almost a clever childlike innocence to that type of rhyming. I also really like that you can see within these lines the whole idea of how magical Rich finds the solar system. And I do like that he did give a nod to his book, Watermelon Sugar, to Richard Brautigan's book, with the lines, "These watermelons in the sky, he squeezes them and drips them dry." To me, this is just, it's clever, almost irrational language that is just a delight for the ears and the eyes. Beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And a moggy is a pedigreed cat, you know, one of those tossaway louts that bear no real fruit of bearing. What do you think?
Yeah, a little bit of a disagree, Pam, because it's not hard to rhyme, but it's hard to get us to care. And I think he gets us to care because I loved moggy, like you said, especially with the brevity. I think it's – someone can put this together, but – I care. I want to sit down with Rich and have more fun with this. And I'm enthralled in 8 lines to talk about it and enjoy it. Moggy got me, and also he in the first. Who the hell is he? Is it God? What is God? And the title had me from the beginning. So I think Rich was able – the key to a brevity is to engage someone and make them care, because haikus can be trite. Anything can be trite, and you can act – like you're much more in-depth and intelligent than the words that you put on the paper. And in this kind of poem, I want to party with it. I want to talk more about it. I want to hear what Rich has to say. So bravo for that. And I think Brautigan would agree, but what the hell do I know?
Break out the caterpillar and the hookah. We're on. All right, and Sin, how about you?
I wasn't supposed to already be doing that. I guess I'm in trouble. I don't know. Reading his author notes and taking a look at the poem that inspired the piece and the artist itself, it's a charming dedication. Because you are using someone's work to create even more, you know, another piece of work, and it has to be done with respect and some and this has it. Let's post that.
Oh,
definitely have
it. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was saying it has that power to grab you. Great piece.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Great show, Pam. Thank you very much. Jeremy, Sin, glad you came on board to read and comment. Had a wonderful time. Had some laughs. Had some fun. But we are at the end of the evening. And like all good things, the night has come to an end. Until next Tuesday, thank you, everybody. And we'll see you then.
Good night. Thanks for having me.
Tell Rex.
Good night, everybody.